Josephine County Board of Commissioners Weekly Business Session. Today is August 10th, 2016. It is 5:30 p.m. If you'll please stand, we'll say the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The first item on our agenda this evening is a proclamation, and it's in the matter of proclaiming the day of August 11th, 2016 as Snowball Express Snowflake Heroes Day, and Commissioner Heck is going to read this proclamation for us.
And in case those are of you, like me, who were not familiar with the Snowball Express and the Snowflake Heroes Day, I'm going to read the proclamation and then we'll have an explanation of what that is. It has to do with children of veterans who were killed in the service, and I checked with our VSO. We don't have any children now at this point in time, but it certainly is a possibility because we have people involved in the county, citizens that are serving our country and serving us, and this is a good proclamation for a much wider area, even though it does not practically apply here. It's a wonderful testimony to the care that we can have. So, in the matter of proclaiming the day of August 11th, 2016, as Snowball Express Snowflake Heroes Day, whereas Snowball Express was started in 2006 to provide hope and happy new memories to the children of our fallen military heroes who have been killed on active duty service since September 11th, 2001. And whereas the children of fallen American heroes should never be forgotten by the citizens of a grateful nation, and whereas the Fraternal Military Organization, NCOA, standing for Non-Commissioned Officer Association, through the heartfelt and generous donations of the citizens of Southern Oregon, is providing an all-expense-paid snowflake event, a fun event for eligible children who are joined by a surviving parent or legal guardian. And whereas these children, who are little heroes in their own right, will be chauffeured by the Grants Pass Boys and Girls Club, enjoy the imagination of our local artist at the Bear Hotel, dine on the fare of the Great Northwest at Sherry's, the OK Corral, the Tap Rock Restaurant, jet down the river on the world-famous Hellgate Excursion, slumber at the historic Riverside Inn, experience nature up close and personal at Wildlife Images, and spelunk our amazing Oregon caves, enjoying a caveman-sized celebration in the Beaver State. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Josephine County Board of Commissioners does hereby proclaim the day of August 11th, 2016 as Snowball Express Snowflake Heroes Day in Josephine County, done and dated this 10th day of August 2016, signed by all three of the sitting commissioners. So we have the Veteran Service Officer for the county, Lisa Picard. And receive this, and also we'll have some comments, and Lisa will introduce that individual to us.
So let me clarify, it's Picard, and I would like to say that when you asked how many children that we have in Josephine County, this is actually the state of Oregon and part of Northern California where these kids are from. I can't get an accurate number from the Department of Defense. It's kind of a private, they're a little bit sheltered. So I do know personally in Josephine County we have four children. And I don't believe they're a part of this event this year. And they opt in and out whenever. I mean, I'm sure they're contacted by the Department of Defense, though, and welcomed into this event. Whether or not they show up is another story. But really, I want to thank the county commissioners and Josephine County. I deeply appreciate the recognition for these young heroes. And I'd just like to say, you know, catastrophic events happen in young lives. It changes their lives forever. And I think it's a responsibility of all of us to support them on their journey, to support their strengths and their courage. And this is a great example of how we can do that. I think it takes a whole village. I really do. And so, again, I appreciate the proclamation. And I'm going to be visiting with these kids tomorrow. And it's going to be quite a day. So with that, I'd like to introduce Mr. Maloney. He's representing the Non-Commissioned Officers Association, Rogue Valley Chapter. He's a trustee, and he wants to come up and say a few words. It's their entity that actually is supporting this event.
Thank you very much, Lisa, and council, and everybody for what you've done here.
Would you please state your name, and I'm going to take care of this.
My name is Justin Maloney. I'm a trustee of the Rogue Chapter of the Non-Commissioned Officers Association. I live over in Medford, but our membership is comprised of folks in Josephine, Jackson, Klamath, and surrounding counties. We have some even in Northern California that come up. We've been chosen as the military fraternal organization official sponsor of Snowball Express, and what Josephine County did here with one of our other members, Mike Hurt, is really outstanding. I guess we have five children that came down for this snowflake event. This is a smaller event. The main annual event they have brings hundreds of children of deceased service members who were killed in action, and down to Arlington, Texas. But what they found about these kids that's really unique is that they don't really understand. Some of them are very young when they lose a parent, and they become withdrawn and really don't know how to cope and understand what has happened to their parent, and maybe resentful on the topic. And these events that American Airlines started, bringing these kids together to make some really special memories and also bring together other children that have had the same experience happen, but still value and recognize their parents' sacrifice, but put them with other kids who've had that same experience and try to create very special experiences for them that they can be thankful that their parents sacrificed for all of us and for the freedom. And from what I understand, just a lot of businesses came together and a lot of people and entities came together and made this possible in a short amount of time. So those kids it's gonna be very special. And I thank you very much for supporting it. So.
Thank you. Hey, you were accurate when you said there's a whole bunch of different businesses that came together to make these things possible. And that really is symptomatic of Josephine County. Across the board, we have tremendous business support for these kinds of programs. These are the ones that reach out and touch somebody, and has great support that comes as a result of that.
Outstanding. Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming.
Okay, we have a legislative action tonight, a public hearing. And I'm going to open the public hearing at 5:38 p.m. And this is for the second reading. And we have the ordinance here that we had the first hearing about 3 weeks ago, I believe it was. Yeah, about 3 weeks ago.
At least 13 days.
Yes, at least 13 days. Has to be at least 13 days. Couldn't remember the exact date. Anyway, at that hearing, we made some changes. At that time, we did not have an ordinance number. It was 2016-005, and I think there was one other.
We did change the allocation under
8.03.
Yes.
Was changed to read, the revenue from this tax shall be used for public health, education, and treatment related to marijuana and marijuana products and public safety. So we added the public safety, and then we had put a comma in after public health because it was not meant for just the public health department. It was meant for any program of public health. So that was added. So those were the changes that were made that day. So I would like to have a motion right now to read the ordinance by title only.
Second reading of ordinance 2016-005, an ordinance imposing a tax on the sale of retail marijuana and marijuana products by title only.
And I will second the motion.
Thank you. And any further discussion?
No.
Okay. I know Commissioner Heck was not here at that time, but you saw the changes we made. And
mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Heck.
Yes.
Commissioner Heck.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Okay, the purpose for having two readings and the time frame in between is so that people can propose changes and make suggestions in regards to the ordinance. We do have several of those, and I'm going to go through those at this time. There were some copies out on the table in the lobby. It's also been posted online on the county website. Actually, we did put a change into the title. An ordinance imposing a tax on the retail sale of recreational marijuana and marijuana products. We did that to clarify that this is on recreational only, even though we had had it within the body of the ordinance. We put it in the title.
So, Madam Chair, I don't mean to interrupt you, but it's really important for the public to understand that these proposals that Commissioner Walker will be going through, they're not a final deal. These are something that has been discussed either by the board or with individual commissioners and legal counsel. We don't want to preempt the process of actually needing to adopt these, so they're recommended changes.
Yes.
Pretty key distinction.
Yes. And then and where we have four, where it says whereas, these are the reasons for having done this. In the second one, it says, whereas Oregon's voters and legislature have enacted laws relating to the taxation of retail sales of recreational marijuana and marijuana products. That's where we also added the recreational, retail sale of recreational. The next one, whereas counties are newly authorized by state law to enact a tax of up to 3% on the retail sale of recreational marijuana. Again, those two words, because we're making this consistent throughout so that there's no misunderstanding that there's anything other than the recreational. Same thing. Next one, whereas a county tax on retail sales of recreational marijuana and marijuana products shall go into effect only upon approval by the majority of the county's electors at a regularly scheduled general election. Now, therefore, so that particular one also. So what we've changed is to make it consistent in every single one of those where it is on the sale of recreational marijuana. The same thing in section one. Under the title, this ordinance shall be known as the Josephine County Retail Sale of Recreational Marijuana Tax Ordinance. That is the recommended language to be inserted in the title. The purpose and intent, which is section two, we also added the word recreational prior to marijuana so that the sentence would read, the purpose of this ordinance is to impose a tax on the retail sale of recreational marijuana and marijuana products within the unincorporated areas of Josephine County. Then we go to section three, and this 3.01 is crossed out. Council, is that correct?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So where it designates 3.01 on the section, that is crossed out. Go to item B under section three. And again, we inserted the word recreational in front of marijuana. And then we put the word business owner to clarify who this would be. So item B would actually read, consumer means a person who purchases, acquires, owns, holds, or uses recreational marijuana or marijuana products other than for the purposes of resale to a business owner, I misquoted that. And then in item C, the same thing, we inserted recreational in front of marijuana in the second line. So that paragraph would read, distribute means to deliver, convey, transfer, sell, consign, or otherwise give to another recreational marijuana or marijuana products. And I'm not going to read the other sentences. They were not changed. Then on the second page of if you're looking at the handout here in the meeting, item D, we also inserted the word recreational in front of marijuana. So the sentence would read, gross taxable sales means the total amount received in money, credits, property, or any other consideration from the sale of recreational marijuana or marijuana products. Then we go to item F in the same section. and it was recommended that we change the word there, and instead of intended for human use or consumption, we just put use or consumption. We deleted the word human. And the justification for that was that in some instances it may end up being products that would be sold or traded or whatever in regards to use other than for human use, such as for livestock. And we didn't want to have to later, if that were the case, to have to go through an amendment. So just by deleting the one word, that would make sure that doesn't happen. Then item G, also, the recreational marijuana or marijuana products, again, making it consistent. So that sentence reads, owner of business or business owner means that person or entity holding the license from the Oregon Liquor Control Commission, OLCC, to sell recreational marijuana or marijuana products. The next recommended change is in item I. Also, again, inserting the word recreational in front of marijuana. And then in the second part of that, changing that sentence to and does not include. So I will read that. Retail and retail sale includes any distribution of recreational marijuana or marijuana products and does not include transactions that are authorized under the Oregon Medical Marijuana Program. J, also inserting the word recreational twice in front of the word marijuana twice. I will read that as well. Sale or sell means the transfer of recreational marijuana or marijuana products from one person to another for consideration. A transfer of recreational marijuana or marijuana products is a sale if the person transferring the marijuana received any type of consideration as described herein, whether directly or indirectly, whether at the time of transfer or some other time. We eliminated K as we had it is deleted, and then a new one is put in. Tax means the tax imposed by this ordinance on the sale or transfer of recreational marijuana or marijuana products.
Anybody said that on the original L was crossed out and now becomes K.
And now becomes K. So we eliminated the K that was there in the previous version and have changed it to the one I just read, and now there is no longer the L. Mm. All right. Then we go to section 5 and 5.01. This
section
is under the
four
section.
Section 4 has a correction
four.
As well.
Yeah.
Pardon?
4.01.
Oh, I'm sorry. I missed it. Item section 4, yes, we also changed as a recommendation for inserting the word recreational, again, in front of marijuana to make it consistent. That's 4.01. The Board of County Commissioners of Josephine County recognizes, declares, and establishes the authority of the Board of Commissioners to tax the sale of recreational marijuana and marijuana products within Josephine County and to assess, calculate, and collect and enforce a tax on all such activities. Thank you for catching that. I had my finger over it. Didn't see it. Section 5, recommended change here in 5.01. It has where it says seller, that has been changed to business owner, and privilege of distributing or selling deleted, and then add after retail distribution or sales of recreational marijuana. I will read that in its entirety. There is hereby levied and shall be paid by every business owner a tax on the privilege of retail distribution or sales of recreational marijuana and marijuana products to consumers as defined in this ordinance. And then item 5.02, again adding recreational in front of marijuana in the second line so that the line reads, the tax shall be in the amount of 3% of the total amount of the gross taxable sales of recreational marijuana and marijuana products to consumers per calendar quarter. Then we go to item 5.06, and we changed a number there. Every return listed in section 5.05 shall be accompanied by payment of the total amount of the tax for that quarter. And then again, in item 5.08, the addition of the word recreational in front of marijuana. And that sentence will read, every person engaged in the retail sale of recreational marijuana and marijuana products shall keep accurate records detailing the revenue and expenses incurred. Then we go to section 6, 6.05, an aggrieved, and it was said person. We recommend changing that to business owner. May appeal the imposition of any penalty imposed under this ordinance by filing a writ of judicial review with the Circuit Court of the State of Oregon for Josephine County. Then in section...
Commissioner Walker.
I'm sorry?
Just for the, on the sake of making sure we've got all our bases covered, under section 6, on the bottom of page 3 of 5, the ordinance number that was also corrected, so we have the same ordinance number that was also noted to be corrected.
And then section 7, under penalties, everywhere that it said seller, we have recommended a change to business owner. So in this copy, for instance, in 7.01, the second sentence, instead of saying any seller who fails to pay the total amount of the tax at the time it is due shall pay a penalty of 10% of the unpaid portion of the tax. That has been changed to business owner on this red line copy. And then the last sentence, the same thing, recommended change seller to business owner. Then 7.02, same thing, first line, changing seller to business owner. And in that same line, changing section 5.04 to 5.05, and that's for accuracy in the document. Again, in line 4, changing seller to business owner twice in that same sentence. And then in the same paragraph, 7.02, line 5, the assessment pursuant to section 7.10 is changed to 7.6, I believe. Is that right? Six. Thank you. And then the second line down from that, again, where the word seller appears, recommend changing that to business owner. And then in the last line of that same section, the word seller, recommend change also to business owner.
Same with on the bottom of the page with the ordinance being corrected.
Yes, changing to the number is, are you looking at the red line?
2016-005.
Yes.
005.
Technically, that was changed in the first reading.
Yeah, that was changed in the first reading.
Okay.
So, item section 8. Section 8 is the one for effect of adoption. And again, in 8.01, the second line, putting the word recreational in front of marijuana. So the line will read, upon its effective date, this ordinance imposes a tax upon the privilege of engaging in the retail sale of recreational marijuana or marijuana products within the unincorporated areas of Josephine County and imposes restrictions and regulations upon persons engaging in such activities. And the last change in section 9, it had a 9.01 that has been deleted as there is only one sentence in that section. And I believe I have covered all the recommended changes on the red line version. Did I miss anything?
No, I don't believe so. I'd make a motion to amend the proposed ordinance with the previously stated red line issues that you described.
And I'll second that.
Any further discussion?
I think this is an opportunity where we would accept public comment in the hearing process, but I'll start out to say that I appreciate the public's patience with this as an element. One of the reasons that Commissioner Walker needs to read through that, or it needs to be read through, is that it's really specific, set out that if we change anything between first and second readings that's substantial or substantive by nature, we need to go back and do the first and second reading. We haven't done a second reading, but we'd have to do the first reading over again, which would mean we'd have to publish it for a number of weeks to be compliant with state statute and our charter. We don't believe we've changed anything substantive, but I think the board's intent was to find clarity and make sure that there isn't any room for people to misinterpret what we're planning on trying to do here. The real provision within the state law to regulate this is really over the retail sale of recreational marijuana. So that's, it's not wholesale, and it's not talking about medical. That's an important distinction, and frankly, a lot of the first reading type of comments that I think the whole board received, but certainly myself, was on that kind of clarity, that we only have the authority to regulate those kinds of things that are regulated by the OLCC, Oregon Liquor Control Commission. And so I just want to thank legal counsel, your guys' patience, for going through all of those little nuanced changes, but they make a big deal. An ordinance is a law, and that's the avenue from which the board has the ability to craft laws. This will be referred to the voters. That's one of the reasons we're going through this process right now, and prior to November, it'll be referred so that everybody has an opportunity to weigh in on this as an element. It reflects what we have put forth as a previous non-binding question by the voters that said they were receptive to the idea, the concept of taxing retail marijuana locally at dispensaries here that we have in our county. So I think we're consistent with that. I don't think we've changed anything substantive about the ordinance, but made it clearer of our intent, and there shouldn't be any room for people to misread what this is expected to do. The board had the privilege of picking between 0, 1, 2, 3%, up to 3%. So it's important also for the public to know that why didn't you tax it at 10% or 50% or something different? We were capped under 3,400 or measure, I believe it was under 3,400. It wasn't in a capacity of measure 91 by 3%. So that's kind of how we got to where we are.
Okay, Commissioner Hare, I think that you made a motion, but I think that we need to ask you to rescind that motion so that we can have Councilor Hicks describe the reasoning behind some of the changes that we made, if you wouldn't mind.
No, I'm pretty good with the motion, and it's amended, and it's just open for discussion and open for public comment. Before we vote on it, we can either change it, what have you, but in order to discuss it, in my opinion, for the public to be aware that this is what we're doing, it's on the floor. It's a matter of discussion for the board right now. Otherwise, they're proposed changes that are just proposed at this point, and so I think we probably could have done it either way.
Did we adequately describe it, Councilor Hayes?
I didn't describe the proposed changes that you had expressed. There was two, changing to human and business, getting it consistent with the definitions. Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Commissioner Walker, you can talk about the one removing human consumption, mm-hmm. and then Councilor Hicks, you could probably talk about why we chose to say business as opposed to seller.
Yes.
I think that captures all of the nuances. Mm-hmm. Those are the changes that I'm familiar with, other than the retail recreational, which I just wanted to have consistent. That was it.
Yeah, Wally Hicks, legal counsel, and as Commissioner Hare, that's a fair summation. I think there were three principal changes. Granted, there's a lot of red ink on the page, but that's because these changes, especially with changing placing the term recreational in front of marijuana in several places, which was strictly for purposes of achieving greater clarification on something that was already well understood from the beginning of this process. And indeed, business owner was changed, or rather, business owner was inserted in places that it was going to make it clearer on who exactly is going to be on the hook to pay this tax. And also, as was discussed at the admin session last week, the definition section, definition F, regarding removing the word of human, there was certainly some discussion of recreational marijuana also being, I suppose, used on animals or in relation to livestock. So this would be encompassing that use of medical. I just said it. I can't believe I just said it. Recreational, retail recreational marijuana. Thank you.
Okay. Any questions?
Yeah, again, as you stumbled in that.
I did, didn't I? Boy, I fell in the trap.
We need to understand this has nothing to do with medical marijuana. Nothing. This is simply applying to the recreational marijuana side. So whatever concerns might be that the medical is trying to be taxed, that we can't do that, this has nothing to do with that. That's a dead issue.
Yes.
The other thing, just for comparison-wise, up to 3%, and this ordinance would be saying 3%. But this has to do with the sale of recreational marijuana in Josephine County. So in order to receive $60,000 worth of taxes, we're going to have $2 million worth of sales in Josephine County.
Retail
sales. And this is not a cash cow for the Josephine County by any means. It's going to try to capture a small portion of it to help supplement different things. But this is not going to solve all of our problems as tax of 3%. So just to emphasize that between now and the vote, and also now in November, that'll come up, I'm sure. But this is not the cash cow process. This is a simple tax, but we are allowed by the state of up to 3%. We're saying 3%. But this is not going to be some massive influx of money now.
Another concern and clarity, I think, is that, you know, the four plants that Measure 91 provided for, 3,400 on your personal property, you're not taxed on that element until you engage in the retail sale of that, which I'm not even sure is allowed by law on your four personal plants. You have to have a commercial license in order to do that. And that's where the business owner definition on page 2 really kind of comes into play. Business owner in this definitions are really important. You have to have a license under the Oregon Liquor Control Commission in order to sell recreational marijuana legally. So that's where that nuance in the definition. So it's people's personals grows are not going to be subject to this.
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. I said recreational marijuana 18 times. I'm surprised I wasn't tongue-tied on that one. Okay. All right. We will open this up to public comment on this topic and this topic only. So does anyone over here wish to speak? Larry Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. And I think you're right. At this point, I don't think there'll be enough money coming as tax to do much. I know it won't cover any of the issues that are going to come up with water usage and public safety that these grows are going to start. They already have. But I do believe that the importance of this is, and it's more likely when rather than if, the federal government decides to relax the regulations on interstate transportation of marijuana products. I believe that's the point where the tax will probably become a little bit more, have a little more backbone, and maybe we'll bring in a little bit more money to our county because it's already happening illegally, and hopefully the state will get enough backbone to start to enforce the laws that are on there and to make it that those people, when they do interstate transportation, and it is legal, and I believe it will be sooner than later, we can more revenue from this tax, so thank you.
Mr. Ford, before you go, do you mind pulling that mic just a little bit closer? The thing of feedback has to do with how it resonates
and
how far
you're better?
I don't know, but it might give them an opportunity to make it better.
Well, if I don't see any flags, I won't worry about it. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else on this side wish to comment on this topic? Over on this side, Judy Ahrens.
Judy Ahrens, residents of Josephine County, a resident of Josephine County. I'm glad that was clarified on, 3F, human use of consumption, because it could be animals, could be on your cats. You could have fun seeing when you give them, put some marijuana stuff as you buy it from the merchants in town, you know, how they react. Kids love to do funny things. So that was a good idea. Of course, I'm being sarcastic, but I'm just thinking, like, wow, what you could do to your dogs and your horses, and my goodness gracious, for recreation. That you could even probably sell tickets for a Saturday night at a barbecue. But you know what my point being here is, I'm so sorry. I mean, I don't know how we're going to measure the income. Commissioner Heck, you mentioned, or Commissioner Hare, it's not a lot of money there as far as a 3% tax on it, whatever. But here's an idea. Because if this county needs more money for a lot of reasons, for certain maybe contracts that we can't live up to, maybe possibly with whatever, considering that levy thing that's trying to be pushed through by tomorrow morning for enough signatures. But if we need more money, this is a way some governments could do it. I could give them ideas like, say, why don't you just try to promote it? Like we say, well, there won't be enough. But if you can promote it, my goodness gracious. Promote marijuana recreation, my goodness gracious. KJO, all these stations, churches. Let's just get into the recreational part of it, and we'll be all one happy family. And what happens with things like that? Then we can forget about our problems. Because, you know, when people sometimes get high on a drink, then I don't forget about I'm going through a divorce tomorrow, whatever. You know, crazy things happen. So, and I'm not sure where if the churches have chimed in or if we've had some doctors come in here and testify about what this will do to a community. I know you probably think, well, here she goes again, that little thing, always talking about the moral issue. But I think a community, if we could look outside this kind of stuff and look for other issues, how we can keep a good, clean. It can't be like like in Murder, She Wrote, that little Cabot Cove, a little cute little community, and just going after a cop, going after a cat in a tree. But I think we have to reach a point from this marijuana recreational, what's the next step going to be? I like the idea we can give it to the cows and we'll see what happens with them. My goodness, that's going to be a real interesting thing to watch them, because obviously they can. If we change it from human consumption to whatever the word is here, use of it. I don't know where this is all going to end. It's like open the Pandora's box and, well, I guess we're just going to find out, because in other states that have tried this, it hasn't worked out so well. But I'm sure you've done your homework. I'm sure you've done your homework, how this has not worked out in other states for the recreational. So I'm just saddened that we're all headed this way. Pray for our community. Thank you.
Anyone else wish to comment? Yes, please state your name and your address.
I'm Etta Tice.
A little closer to the mic. Oh, sorry. Turn it up a little.
Etta Tice, T-H-E-I-S. I live in Grants Pass for 52 years. I just have one question. What is the anticipated income for the county on this ordinance, the way this is all set up? What do you expect as income? You say 3%, but I don't have anything to balance that with.
Okay.
Are you expecting $1 million income, 500,000, 1,000, 200,000? I've not read or heard anything as to what the county might be anticipating.
Mm-hmm. The projection we have not made, because we don't know what it would be. We do not currently have a standalone retail recreational outlet in the county that is open. There is one that is licensed. Currently, the medical marijuana dispensaries are authorized to sell recreational marijuana through the end of this year. But by the end of this year, they cannot be co-located, so they will have to close down either the medical or the recreational. They can't function together. So based on the very small number of facilities that we have, we don't anticipate that it's going to be very much money at all. It may not even be 10,000, you know, 10,000, maybe 20,000, who knows. But we don't know what those sales will be. Based on the numbers of outlets that we will have by January 1st, it will be very small.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay. No one else? All right. I will bring it back to the board. Okay.
Chair?
I have a motion. Would you please repeat the motion? Because it has to be on the changes.
For asking for that. Yeah, the motion is to include the changes, but it's for the adoption of Ordinance 2016-005, an ordinance imposing a tax on the sale of retail marijuana and marijuana products, incorporating the changes as Commissioner Walker read them. So okay. That's the motion.
And I'll second that.
Okay.
I think it's been, did I make it already? I made it already. And
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think we're,
okay.
But
right.
I did want to answer a couple of, I think some of the points, Ms. Ahrens, it's easily confused the fact that we're discussing the merits of Measure 91 or 3400, whether or not marijuana is going to be sold retail-wise in Josephine County. That's not what's on the table today. That's not what the issue is. The issue that's on the table is just whether or not the county is going to impose an up to 3% retail tax. So we're not debating the issue of whether or not we should or should not here today. That actually was definitively decided by voters during Measure 91 when it went on the ballot over a year ago. And that actually did not pass Josephine County. It failed 17,313 opposed and 17,311 for. Of the three elections that I can remember on the subject of marijuana that have come before the county or the state, all three have failed, that one being the closest. However, like I mentioned earlier, that the question of whether or not, okay, so it's here, as Commissioner Heck would say, it's here, what do we do with it? We've been given the option to tax the retail component of recreational up to 3%. So to gain some revenue off of this, it's going to be really low because out of the 240 some odd recreational dispensaries or medical maybe right now, but we will see the mass numbers being in the metro areas up in Portland, they get the lion's share of the revenue based on the number of dispensaries in their county and their location and their municipality. We grow a tremendous amount of the recreational or medical marijuana in the state. We don't sell it here because most people that are interested, a lot of the people, they have a medical card. And they can have access to it by somebody growing it or growing it on your property, up to four plants, not for free, but it's pretty close. So why would anybody go to a recreational outlet to purchase it here? They don't grow it as much in the Portland metro area. And if they did, it's probably not as good as what apparently we grow down here. So if it's got the word, you know, Grants Pass or Josephine County or Williams or Illinois Valley next to it, it's a premium. It's high quality, and people are willing to pay for it around the world, not just up in Portland. So unfortunately, we don't have the voice that we probably should when talking about 3400 implementation committee. I know Carl Wilson was on that, but the formula of distribution left us wanting a tremendous amount. There is no component of capturing revenue off of either the wholesale distribution or the production side of things. So we are stuck with a lot of the not so positive element and really no way to enforce it. You know, even the laws we have on the books right now, there's no additional revenue stream by this new industry coming into county government to help offset the additional costs of enforcement or anything else. So it's a real challenge, and I felt we had no choice but to refer this to the voters to capture something of a revenue stream. And it won't be high. It won't be large. I am sure of it. So under the best circumstances, I think the smallest prediction is probably pretty accurate. That's all I wanted to say.
And again, this is not the only thing we are doing with this is either passing this ordinance or not. The ordinance that the citizenry of Josephine County has to vote on this, whether to activate it or not activate it, and that's in November. So this is not a done deal in that sense. And it does apply only to the recreational marijuana, not the medical. And I will say those phrases many, many times in the weeks ahead, but this is not, regardless of how we come down on this, this is not a money generator for Josephine County. There's no projection that you can come up with. We asked Mr. O'Hare to come up with some, and then he said, well, you've got to do all this. We said, forget it. We'll just come up with a better time. It's too short window to try to, because everything is in a projection. Everything is, I think, possibly, and you can't make hard and fast projections on the basis of that. So, as I said, at 3% on $2 million, that's $60,000 sales on tax. Well, if you believe we're going to sell retail $2 million worth of recreational marijuana in Josephine County, then dogs do fly and chickens bark. It's not going to happen. So we will be far less than that amount of money. How far less? I don't know. But it's going to be far less than $60,000 or even $30,000, much less probably $10,000. But nobody knows right now, so everything is fair game.
Okay, would you please read the motion back to us?
Commissioners, I made a motion to amend the proposed changes to Ordinance Number 7605, an ordinance opposed. incorporating the changes.
Okay. Commissioner Hare, we need to amend that to include adopting it and passing it and
my
to
second
the voters.
Motion had clarity and that the adoption was key, but she's right. The first motion didn't include the word adopt.
Yeah, so. But to refer it to the voters. We have to refer it to the voters.
I don't have a motion that includes referring it to the voters. That was a given, but I suppose we have to. I mean, that's our intent.
Well, that's presupposed by this is a tax. Any tax has to be referred to the voters. So.
I just want clarity in the record so that it says that it is going to be referred to the voters authorizing the measure at the election November 8th, 2016, if you wouldn't mind, please.
I'm just wondering whether it's clearer to adopt the ordinance.
You want to make a second
motion. And
then
motion. Make a second motion to
okay,
refer it to the voters.
Okay, we can do
voters.
It that way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's
kind
fine
of
to do it that way.
Might be cleaner.
Okay, call the question. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hare.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. I will now entertain the motion.
Yeah, I think before we leave the legislative element, I'd just make a motion to refer to the voters at the November 2016 election. Ordinance number 2016-005, an ordinance imposing a tax on the sale of retail marijuana and marijuana products. Do you have that language finalized? I mean, this could be premature because we haven't necessarily, or do we even have the authority to approve it? You're going to do it based on the ordinance that we just adopted. It's kind of cart before the horse. You really can't produce the title, the explanatory statement, the statement, and all that before we...
Indeed, and yes, as you've said, there are still some procedures left before this actually goes outside of the board's jurisdiction, if you will, outside of what you're doing here.
But it's my understanding that we needed to make a motion for that referral so that you can go ahead and proceed on that, so you have board approval to go ahead and proceed.
You're adopting it tonight, referring it tonight, and then tomorrow morning, actually, we're going to be coming back and discussing the order that would send it to the ballot title, and the explanatory statement.
Right, because we don't have the order tonight.
No, that's going to be for tomorrow at admin, and then that's going to come back a week from today for the board's opportunity to vote on those issues as well, at which point you'll also sign the ordinance.
And we already have the motion.
So, should make it sense?
Yes. Yeah, but you don't need a motion to do what we're doing today. We would have done it tomorrow at the admin, so it's fine. Further clarity, but it wasn't necessary. Go ahead.
So do I have a second?
I second it.
Okay, roll call, please.
Commissioner Hare.
Yes.
Commissioner Hare.
Yes.
Commissioner Walker.
Yes, motion carries. Okay, I'm going to close the hearing at 6:17 p.m.
From a standpoint of being noticed, that's not what was on the agenda tonight, so I'm really reluctant that motion stands. It's not, in my mind, it's not appropriate. We didn't notice that we were referring it to the voters and an ordinance, you know, I would like to withdraw that it happened because that's not, it wasn't noticed on the agenda today. It's an action without, you know, the opportunity for the public to be aware that that's our intent. And that's what an order does. And that's what we'll talk about tomorrow. And it's really important not to get the cart before the horse and to do things. I know it seems cumbersome and silly to the people out there, but we get in trouble if we don't do things by the books. And approving something that's not on the agenda is not a good thing. So in my opinion...
Counselor, would you please...
We didn't just do it.
Advise.
I think the motion was to adopt the ordinance. Is that right?
I would like clarity on that because that's my struggle. I voted yes, at least in my mind, to adopt the ordinance. So if that's not what we voted for, what was the reading of the motion?
My second motion was to refer it to the November 2016
that we would approve sending it to the voters. So do we need to rescind that one because of the order that we will be working on next week?
That's not what I voted. Yeah.
Well, we all did, but we shouldn't have.
Let me look at the final page.
Well, keeping it simple, if we voted to send this to the voters, I'll move that we rescind that because that should not have been on the.
We shouldn't have been doing.
No, shouldn't have been done.
Okay, so I'm going. Excuse me.
We're looking for adoption.
Excuse me, just a moment. I had closed the hearing at 6:17, correct? I'm going to reopen at 6:19 for further discussion. Please go ahead.
No. I want to rescind the motion.
No, just a minute. I want him to finish. What were you saying? I just wanted to make that statement before he finished his sentence there.
Okay, looking at Section 10, so the final, paragraph of the ordinance states, second reading and adoption. by the Board of County Commissioners at least 13 days from this from the first reading this day of August 10th, day of August 2016. So we're looking for an adoption tonight.
We already did
that.
And that we did.
I want to rescind my motion. It's not part of the hearing. It's not a legislative action. It's an administrative action that wasn't listed. And I'm not comfortable with the motion I made, and I shouldn't have done it. And I'd like to rescind it.
Okay. And, so and do I have a second to that? That you wish to, just rescind your second. That's all you need to do.
No, I'm making a motion, Madam Chair, to rescind the motion that was adopted by this board to refer that ordinance number 2016-005 to the voters this November 2016.
Okay.
We should not have done that, and I need to.
I would like to know what I'm hearing. We made two motions and voted.
We did.
I want to hear the first motion was what? What did we move? We voted. We moved to approve what?
Amend the proposed changes to the ordinance.
To amend, we had no adoption in the proposed.
Yes,
oh,
we did.
Amend the proposed
and
changes.
Then the
okay,
one.
That was good. Okay, so we voted yes.
We adopted
the
it.
Second
with the
motion
then
changes.
Is
what?
Refer to the voters.
Oh, no, sorry. Yeah, one. I think I guided the board the wrong way there. That was.
There were three
the
motions.
To motion
can I?
With the red line
first
with
one
changes.
Was to amend.
Yeah. Well, I understand that.
Got it?
But
I'm
just asking, what do we have in a minute? Because what
do we have?
Third
one was to refer it to the voters.
The last one was to refer to the voters, Commissioner Heck. The last one was to refer to the voters, and he wants to make a motion.
That's the motion that's on the floor.
Yeah.
Was that never voted on, right?
It was.
We did.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Okay. If it's too much trouble to find out from the Secretary, what do the minutes say?
What does the last
we've got two motions that I know of. If we have six now, where are we at on these? What are the minutes going to record? We had one motion to approve the changes.
We had the motion to approve the changes and
second motion was what?
Move the changes and adopt the ordinance.
Yeah, adopt the ordinance and the proposed changes.
Okay, so we moved to adopt the ordinance and proposed changes. That was voted aye, yes, unanimously.
The last one.
Third motion is what?
Refer to the voters of the November 8th, 2016.
And that was also voted unanimously. Okay, so we're rescinding the third motion that was made.
Correct.
I have no problem with rescinding that third motion.
Okay,
say
so Simon has made,
motion.
Commissioner Hare has made the motion. We need the second.
Did you second that?
Okay. Any further discussion? I think we've beat it to death, but you have an opportunity. Okay, roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, motion carries. Thank you, gentlemen. All right, that being said, we will have our meeting tomorrow. We'll go ahead on the order for the administrative action. Okay. All right. We are closing the public hearing at 6:23 p.m. Thank you. All right. Administrative actions of the board. 3A, approval of water conservation, reuse, and storage grant program. Grant agreement GA0112-17 for the McMullen Creek Dam Bridge and Spillway Analysis. Commissioner Hare.
Yes, Madam Chair, this is a grant with the Oregon Water Resources to invest some money in figuring out how we're going to basically do the dam spillway to redo that. Right now it's compromised, and this could take a little while. It's the overflow spillway. It's not the spillway associated with the bridge. And so there's two things. We're working on replacing that bridge, and by replacing the bridge, we have to replace the spillway through which the water flows. In the event of a high water occurrence, there's an overflow component that's on, well, if you're facing the dam, it's on the left-hand side. There's some cement that's eroded away from that under similar circumstances. And we're worried that if that continues to erode, it could compromise the integrity of the dam. This is a high priority for the state right now, but right now, petitioning other agencies, the state for funds, wouldn't go real well. We probably wouldn't prevail in those requests for grant funds, and so we need to kind of look at it at a broader look, and that's what these grant funds do in order to put forth the money, a grant application that will actually score well and we can get some funds to help pay for that overflow. Because right now, it would all be on the hook of the county, and I've heard some projections that it could be substantially expensive to redo this. And there are some other components that probably need attention that haven't gotten it, and we could include those. And so it's for the long-term benefit of the county and the residents who use that facility. We need to go forward with this grant application.
Okay. The item 3B, which is the actual contract portion for that Mullen Creek Dam Bridge project, we've had a request to table that because we didn't have completed documents in for our review or for public publication. So that portion is being tabled. But the grant portion that Commissioner Hare just discussed will move forward in this meeting. Okay. Item 4, requests and comments from citizens. This can be concern that you have or comment on perhaps this grant program or any other issue that you may wish to bring to the board. So would you like to speak, sir? No? Okay. Anyone on this side? Larry Ford.
Larry Ford, 136 Ferry Road, Grants Pass. I talked about this last week, and I'm going to bring it up again, and that is the fact that the county collects the taxes due to different entities, that part of that being the school districts and others. We get no funds for that. I think that's ludicrous. My next step is going to be to go to Carl Wilson and Herman Barshiger and try to get maybe some action at the state level to change this. I understand from Commissioner Hare, he was tried a couple years ago and it kind of failed and, you know, it never got out of the committee or whatever. And I'm sure that's because of the strong influence that the unions have in the state. My hope is if we can get some motion on this through our state legislature, that you as commissioners will use your influence in some of our neighboring counties and people you know to try to get this back. I don't think it should be a lot of money, but I do believe that those entities should pay for what it costs this county and other counties, all the counties in the state, actually, to collect this money. It just seems to me that they're putting an unfair burden on the county by not paying a portion of what it costs us to collect those taxes. So, like I said, my next step will be to go to our state legislature and try to get some motion on this. Hopefully we will, because I think it's a detriment to the county and completely just ludicrous that they don't at least pay a percent or two to try to collect these taxes and to reimburse the county for what it costs us as a county to collect these taxes. Thank you.
Anyone else on this side wish to comment? Judy Ahrens.
Judy Ahrens, resident of Josephine County. I was here last week just mentioning there might be an item or a demonstration or a situation that's going to be happening on the 9th, and it did happen, and Commissioner Heck, you were there, so apparently you found out someplace. I didn't want to mention the name last time, Black Lives Matter, but now that we've had it on the media and our local channel's been there, and it's been KJO, people were there. That I guess I can mention it. I don't know too much about that organization on the other side. I didn't go on the other side, and I don't know if Commissioner Heck, you had a chance to go over there. I know Joseph Rice did, and who's sponsoring it. But a little alerted to that something's going on, trying to disrupt a nice, cute little, nice community such as ours here. So maybe finding out more information through KJO and what the pictures and what the little. Thing that they had on the other night at 7, from 6 to 8 or something like that. But it was concerning, and what I was happy that there was whoever was informed, we had a good turnout as far as that our side said that all lives matter, and I hope that's the commissioner's sentiment too, that all lives matter, no matter who they are, all lives matter, and that was our theme on our side with our signs. Now, on another subject I would like to bring up is just on this tax levy that might possibly get enough signatures tomorrow, but a citizen gave me a really interesting something they pulled down from the state, It has to do with the total organ PERS benefit payments by state. And what I find interesting on this is that, now this was back, the data came from back in 2014 tax year, but it shows organ being the highest, and I want to say the highest, in fast as money paid, amount of money paid. The average person on PERS in the state of Oregon gets $29,600, so almost $30,000 a year average annual payment. And the number of retirees is, I think the number is 111,525. And yet when you look at even California only has 2,284, and they have, as far as the average payment, annual payment is for their PERS, is 20,227. So when we look at Oregon and we look at what's going on with our government employees, it seems like they're doing pretty good in our state. And maybe that should draw some concern, being we're not a real concentrated state like California with their the number of population there. And even New York has a less one. So very concerned that maybe PERS might be the thing that's driving a lot of these levy taxes. So anyway, it's interesting data, and that was 2014. Thanks.
Anyone else over here wish to speak? Okay, I'll bring it back to the board. All right. I'll entertain a motion on item 3A.
Madam Chair, I'd move for approval of item 3A, which is the Water Conservation Reuse and Storage Grant Program Grant Agreement number GA-0112-17 for the McMullen Creek Dam Bridge and Spillway Analysis. Okay. I hope so.
I will second that motion.
Any further discussion?
I just wanted to take an opportunity to explain to people how Lake Selmac got its name. I've lived here my whole life, and it was explained to me that McMullen Creek and Selma were put together, and out of McMullen and Selma, you get Selmac. So I thought that was kind of a little interesting piece of trivia, and people who have enjoyed it. It's about we've got 2 square miles of water in Josephine County out of the 1,642 square miles. A lot of that is Lake Selmac. We're actually pretty blessed when you look around. There aren't a lot of counties with a lake that size. It's non-motorized. It's a pretty nice asset. And a county has somewhere around 300 acres that borders it. And a lot of our park system is out there. So take advantage, get your park pass, and enjoy Lake Selmac. We want to make sure that it's maintained for decades to come. And the blue-green algae is a continuing problem that we need to. It won't be solved by redoing this stuff, but it's a nice asset.
Okay. Roll call, please.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes.
Commissioner Hare?
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Item 5, approval of consent calendar, 5A, minutes, weekly business session, July 13th, 2016. Executive session meeting, the open portion, July 20th, 2016. County administration workshop, July 21st, 2016. Weekly business session, July 27th, 2016. And the executive session meeting, the open portion, July 27th, 2016. I will entertain a motion to approve those minutes on the consent calendar.
Madam Chair, I would so move approval of items 5A.
Second.
Thank you. Any further discussion? No comments? Okay. Roll call, please.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. Motion carries. Do we have any other business? Item 6 tonight. No. Item 7, matters from commissioners.
Madam Chair, I think the public is probably struck by sometimes our processes get a little cumbersome, a little challenging. We don't have an administrator at the county, so we're kind of wearing that hat. And the right way to facilitate these processes, it's not something you learn in school, and it's not second nature. And so I just want to implore the people of Josephine County for, you know, their patience. We save a lot of money, some would say, by not having an administrator. But we also would have somebody who is knowledgeable about these processes and, you know, would be sitting
right next to us, but not just with this item. You know, this is kind of small potatoes, but I look around the state. There's 36 counties, and I've had an opportunity in going on 6 years to really get into how the other counties do business, and there's a lot of positives to the way we work. This board is administrative, quasi-judicial, we're policy-based. There's a huge degree of separation in Jackson County between their administrative personnel, the board, and the staff, and the public. It's a little bit more bureaucratic, but that doesn't mean that there aren't positives to that system, too. And so I could take time to explain those, what I see coming out of the positives of an administrative form of county government as well. I think in most cases we have a pretty good system over here. Could it be improved upon? Certainly. But I think we're pretty well served by it. I wanted to talk about on Monday and Tuesday, Sunday night, I was over in Coos Bay attending the Oregon Coastal Caucus Economic Summit. It's the second year that I've attended that, and I believe, out of all of the meetings that I've gone to, that it's probably one of the most productive from a standpoint of putting legislators that are out of session in a room with members of Congress. Senator Wyden was there, agency heads, other county commissioners from around the state. There is no better opportunity to engage with that kind of collegial camaraderie and figuring out best practices. I came away with three pretty good-sized ideas that I think are may never have come to fruition, but they actually, if they did, would give rural Oregon an opportunity to be at the table with the legislature in a way we've probably never had before, and some clarity and some continuity around working around our specific issues. The things that we really need to solve here, funding elements, land use, some other economic development types of things, they aren't the same issues that they have in Marion, Multnomah, Clackamas, Washington County, and they never will be. And for us to have an opportunity to be on a parallel stage with those representatives, their issues, it's going to be a challenge. I worked for electric cooperatives for, it's so long ago, I can't remember if it was 6 or 8 years. But one of the things co-ops did is they leveraged the asset they had, which was they serve a broad vast array of landscape. So they provided electricity to 80% of the landscape in the country, but only 12% of the population. But it touched so many congressional districts that they had an opportunity to touch a lot of members of Congress. I think Oregon is very similar in that sense, and we need to figure out a way to take our weakness and make it into a strength and bring those sometimes remote geographic regions together, because we all have very similar types of issues, and speak with one voice at the legislature, and we might actually get some traction on some of these and not get sidetracked with 100 different issues, but concentrate on 4 or 5. And at the legislature, what Mr. Ford is bringing up, it's House Bill 3123, if I remember correctly. It was proposed in 2009 and in 13 to take just not to exceed 2% of the revenue collected by all of the special districts, education, the city, and anything else, and help pay for tax and assessment. It costs the county sometimes between $6 and $1 million to do that one function when we are the third lowest recipient. So if you pay $71 million, if we collect $71 million in taxes in Josephine County on $6.8 billion worth of taxable assets, we keep 3.5, 3.8 of that. In some counties, that's the administrative fee for just doing that service. But we make it work for everything that we're supposed to provide as services to the county residents, and they don't contribute to that burden at all. And we've never gotten a check, and we've never gotten a thank you card from any of those districts for doing that service. We just do it. In better times, when we had other revenues, it wasn't a big deal. It's getting to be a big deal here. Every little bit counts, and so we make it stretch as far as possible. And I think it's only coming together and working with those districts for them to understand that there's a benefit to them contributing to this system. Can we actually get some legislation passed? Because collectively, those other special districts have way more power than the 36 counties in the state of Oregon. So I'm optimistic. I think that that was a great caucus meeting over there, and a lot of good things are in the queue to happen if we do come together. So, basically what I wanted to say.
Thank you. Commissioner Heck?
Yes, a couple of things. One is most of us, and we can be appreciative of that fact, most of us have very little necessity of involving ourselves as a need with the search and rescue folks. But we had this tragedy occur over on the coast where this family went down and his friend. And for a period of time, nobody knew what happened. No, I mean, they knew what happened. It was under plane crash. But there's three bodies out there of family members. The search and rescue crew here chipped in invaluable hours, and the search and rescue folks are volunteer people. The dive team, all the work that was involved in that, they recovered the two, and then just yesterday, the day before, they recovered the third body. And we owe them a tremendous sense of appreciation, a tremendous thank you for their labor of, simply labor of love for everybody involved in this thing, trying to save lives before they are found at the bottom of a cliff someplace, trying to rescue them, but in this kind of a situation as well, going far, far, far beyond the expected necessity and being able to retrieve these three bodies for the family so that the family can have true closure and they can have a sense of peace on that. The other one is a week from today, an event is happening in Josephine County on the 17th that has something to do with a fair, and I'm surprised you didn't mention that. But the Josephine County Fair does begin a week from today, and all of the work that's being done, the preparation work, the prizes, the people have grown, these kids have grown these animals for 7 months or 6 months, whatever it is. And it's a wonderful time. There's a tremendous program, agenda being set. All you have to do is go on the website, and you can find out exactly who's going to be there, what time they're going to be there, costs involved, if there's any. But it's just a fun, fun time, and it's a good week to look forward to, Wednesday through Saturday, with the auction being taking place on the 20th on that Saturday. And it's just it's a fun time, good time of the year, so it's a nice time to be a Josephine County citizen. Thanks.
And I'm driving a golf cart again this year to drive people from the parking lot into the fair. So that's fun. Whenever I pick people up at the gate, I ask them what brought them to the fair. And they have different reasons, of course. Lots of them say, I'm come for, you know, the food or the show or the livestock or, oh, I like to go to the flower building, whatever. But the most interesting comments is when you take them back to the parking lot, you say, what impressed you the most? What was the most fun? What did you like the most? And every time it's something to do with animals. Almost every time. I can't even think of when it isn't. One year they had the seals there.
Oh, that was a big one, yeah.
You know, the seals. And this year I understand they're going to have some other kind of animals out there on the midway for people to pet or play with or whatever. And or they talk about they went to the, and they saw the cows or whatever. It's always their favorite thing is the animals. So anyway, it's a fun time. And so everybody go to the fair. And if you are an individual who does canning or pickling or sewing or embroidery or whatever, be sure to enter your creations in the fair, because that's one of my favorite things to go look at, is to see the creativity that people have in our community. It's a beautiful sight to see. And just a reminder, keep it on your calendar that the Josephine County Airport Days is September 3rd, a big family event, lots of food. There's also a car show if you're interested in some beautiful old cars. And there are going to be some demonstrations on the runway, everything from model aircraft to the repellers. So there's all kinds of shows going to take place out there that day. Do you have a comment?
I just wanted to say on that note, Commissioner Walker has been a tireless advocate for the airports in Josephine County. We're blessed to have two. And under the direction of Mr. Graves, our airport manager, has done incredible things over the last 3, 4, 5 years. And so... But there's a quote, Senator Betsy Johnson is one of my favorite legislators. She's a lot of people's favorite legislator. And she said this quotable quote that a mile of road can get you across town, but a mile of runway can get you around the world. And it just resonated how valuable our airport system really can be to this community, to really take us to that that next generation of being connected to the world. It's not just the internet, it's people traveling. And I know Dutch Bros takes advantage of the Grants Pass Airport probably each and every day. There's probably a number of other businesses, Krauscraft included, who start their journey sometimes from that airport, and look what comes from it.
I'd just like to say, in keeping with that, Larry Graves had, at some other airport where he had worked, had had an air academy for junior high kids to get kids interested in aviation careers. And so he decided he wanted to have one this year. And he said, well, let's just have one and, you know, get the volunteers and get it started. And so I had one session with 10 kids. It kept expanding, and now he has two sessions with 12 or 13 in each one. And it's all donated time by the pilots, all donated materials. But RCC is one of the main sponsors. They've donated computers with the joysticks so kids can do the simulator type of activities. And it's going to be a fabulous thing for these junior high kids. And I think that they'll go away from there having a different perspective on aviation careers, because it's not just being a pilot in the cockpit. Has a lot to do with a lot of other things. They have to learn about the weather, and they have to know their math, and they have to know clouds and all of those things. So it's going to be really a fun event. I'm going to go out and on each Monday of those 2 different week sessions and see the kids. So it'll be a fun thing. So our airport is doing some fabulous things, not just for the people who fly, but for the people who are coming up in the next generation. So, okay. Anything else?
Nope.
All right. We are adjourned at 6:46 p.m. Thank you.